this week we focused on different sports, things for people to do at home with their kids. We've had hockey and soccer and volleyball and everything. Today we're going to focus on basketball. Obviously, I know you play at a very high level, but you've been coaching for a long time. So let's start maybe with kind of younger kids at, you know, ages, you know, 10 and under. What are some things that are kind of simple drills to do to enhance their basketball skills?
I think you got to start with really the building block that has this just go from here and lead them to where, you know, basketball or anything else will take them. And it's got to be built around fun. I mean, it's got to be built around how can we do something with the ball, do something with movement that we would maybe do in a game where it's something that the kids want to get outside and do. If they can do it with mom and dad, I think, you know, or a family member, a brother or sister, something where there's engagement with somebody else and there's a real enjoyment for the game, I think that's got to be square one. You have to start with making sure that this is fun, that this is something that we look forward to on a daily basis. And it's a nice way to have something that we, you know, can act as a bit of a release from some of these days start to run together. As far as simple drills go, it never hurts to just have the hands on the basketball. I mean, once you get it, you know, dribbling drills, right hand, left hand, tag while we're dribbling. You know, in coaching young kids through the year with the Southwest Mites basketball program that I do, we take a lot of simple games and we just put a basketball into it, because I think, like you guys know, since we all have kids, is when we're just playing and we're having fun, we're learning a ton. And that's usually when our kiddos are at their best. So I really like red light, green light with the dribble. I really like what time is it, Mr. Wolf, with the ball. I like Simon Says or follow the leader when we're wrapping the ball around our waist or around our knees or around, you know, dribbling with our left hand, closing our eyes, hopping up and down on one foot. And then even say, hey, we just have a wall. Maybe we don't have a basket. And let's try and hit that spot on the wall 15 times, 20 times. Then let's do a relay race. Let's throw a shoe on the ground and let's see who can dribble to the shoe first and run back. Simple stuff that we can do in a small space without a lot of resources, where it's just built around, let's have as much fun as we possibly can with the game.
Steve, it sounds like what you're trying to do with these drills is just create a baseline or foundation to build off of, because basketball, you know, it seems to me, and I've been doing it with my own kids, if you can't dribble the ball, the game kind of breaks down. If you can't maybe even get it up in the air towards the hoop, much less get it in the hoop, the game kind of breaks down. So is that what this idea is, at the younger ages, get a baseline to move up from?
Very much so. Very much so, Struts. I think, you know, having those foundational things with basketball, that's what's going to make it fun. I mean, you know, tossing somebody out there that hasn't dribbled, hasn't shot, you know, maybe watched it on TV a little bit and says, you know, go have fun, it's going to be really frustrating because we're not going to know, you know, even what we're doing. I think just being able to establish that foundational base, we got to be able to bounce the ball. Once we're able to figure out how we bounce the ball, then let's figure out how we can do it with both hands. It's going to take time where it's not going to feel great on both sides right away. So let's take time. I mean, geez, if right now there isn't time to just get outside and let's just dribble and try and hit the same spot for 10 minutes, it's going to be tough when things maybe start to go back to normal. So, I mean, let's use this time for that, where we can just go bounce it, shoot it, have fun with it. And then all of a sudden we're working on our skills and we're not even putting it under the title or the frame of like, well, we're training. No. We're just getting out there and we're making sure that we're having fun with the game and we're interacting through it. Cause I mean, I think for all of us who have played anything, that's the best part of it. We do our serious training, but then it's just also the relationships and the fun that you have shooting in the driveway with your dad, you know, playing one-on-one with your brother, or just, you know, dribble knockout or something like that. Those things that make you keep coming back to the game, because when you wake up and say, that was a lot of fun, let's go do this again.
Joined by Steve Serafie, a 3-on-3 basketball player for Team Canada. You know, Steve, when you let's move up a little bit now from the introductory levels of 8, 7, 8, 9 years old. Now we've got a baseline and the kids are having fun, but they maybe want to refine what they're doing. So where do we look to for that now? What does that look like for that program for a little bit older group?
Well, I think, it still has to be built around, especially during this time, since we don't have specific games, we don't have specific team practices to prepare for. We can maybe look back and say, all right, these are some things during my games that I didn't feel really comfortable with. So what can I work on with that? A little bit of introducing some dialogue and some self-reflection on what do you want to work on? What do you feel we need to get better at? I had a coach when I was younger that said, hey, if we're going to go to the gym and we're going to do some stuff, then let's write down two things we're good at, and then let's write down one thing, not to be embarrassed or not to be ashamed of it. Let's just write down one thing that you know you're not good at. So, okay, the best thing about that is once we write it down, that part's done. The uncomfortable part is done. Now let's figure out how we can make that shift over to the list of what we're good at. And that's, I think, where the fun really starts to come in at that age group is if, hey, defense is my thing. Cool. Let's get a jump rope and let's start jumping rope and let's get those feet moving. Let's set down a shoe or a cone on one side of the yard and have a shoe or a cone on 10 feet away and let's do defensive slides for 20 seconds, hard as we can. If we did that for a couple minutes a day, all of a sudden we're going to see improvement. With Alberta Basketball, who I work for, we have our Hoops for Home program going on right now. There's a lot of stuff on that program that are offered by coaches, players, resources that if somebody's stuck and not feeling creative that day, you can go to, you can look at, and you can say, hey, I'm going to do this drill, or I'm going to take this advice. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to work at it. The second part I could say, though, once you've done that, is then the creativity of being an athlete and being a kid. Go out there and say, hey, I took this drill from this program or from this practice that I did. Now I'm going to build off it and put a twist on it myself, and I'm going to start to get creative with this, because that's really where the good players start to differentiate themselves. They allow their creativity to really take over.
Steve, sir, join us. Steve, what about the balance between dribbling and shooting? You know, at younger ages, is there a mistake on focusing too much on shooting, or sometimes there a focus on not doing enough shooting, and maybe doing the same type? Like, what are some errors that maybe non-basketball parents might be doing with their kids? They think they're helping, but it might be hurting their game.
You know, I'm really from the school of thought of you can never shoot too much. Like, it's really going to be something where you're never going to come in from outside and be like, you know what? I shot way too much out there. I wish I could take, no, like it's going to be, if I shot 300 and I squeeze in 20 more and I shot 320 shots, that's awesome. That's perfect. Squeeze in two more. It doesn't always have to be a nice round number. Squeeze in as much as you can. Shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. If there's anything that's being driven home today, it's that, man, if you can shoot the ball, someone's going to perk up and pay attention at any level. I mean, it's something that commands immediate attention in the gym at every age level for every gym, like whatever is going on. If you can shoot it, someone's watching. The dribbling part, I feel, because when I was growing up, I shot and shot and shot, and that was my strength. And I was self-conscious of how I dribbled the ball because I wasn't someone, I spent time on my dribbling, but it wasn't as good as my shooting. So I felt self-conscious to really put it down and experiment. As I got older, once I got to college, really had to be forced to diversify my game. I spent a lot more time on it. It was frustrating because there was just certain things I wasn't good at yet, but through good coaching and then a lot of persistence, it became something that I gained more and more confidence in. So as a young player, I would say, if there's a hoop around, shoot and shoot and shoot until you can't see the bucket anymore and the sun goes down. But in between that, dribble as much as you can too. If you're walking to the store, or if you walk into the park, or you walk into the car, dribble. See how many dribbles you can get, even just getting up and walking outside before you take out the trash. See if you can get 100 dribbles, 150 dribbles. Make it competitive, make it fun. But the biggest thing I would say, Jason, is like just have that ball in your hand. Shoot it, dribble it. Love having that ball in your hand.
Steve, what about shooting technique? Does it matter? You know, at what point do you need someone to refine their shooting technique? Is it important early?
I'd say it's something to pay attention to. You know, when you're young, I think one of the biggest things is you want to talk about balance. There's going to be a strength thing. I mean, I've had lots of parents come up to me in the past and go, you know, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And I said, like, you're really not going to like this answer. You're just going to have to wait 4 years. Like it's going to, there's yes. going to be something yeah. where they're just going to get stronger naturally, and the ball is going to be able to be put in different spots of their body that they just can't do right now. Like when I was in junior high, I shot behind my head. I was a really good shooter, but I was still not strong enough to shoot from distance right. the way that I needed to be able to quickly. So I had to sling it a little bit. It went behind my head. My follow through was good, but then I got to like summer between 9th and 10th grade, I just started putting it in front of my face more. And I was like, boy, I'm stronger now. I can get it off quicker, and it helped my release a lot. And then from there, it just started to go up and up. With the younger ones, I would say good feet position is important, making sure they're on balance. If we can talk about and begin to introduce the things that are real baseline check marks for shooting, eyes on the rim, square to the basket, 10 toes to the basket, so we're square to our target. You know, we want to make sure that our basketball is not starting in odd places on our upper body. We want to make sure that we start talking about something called a shooting pocket, where the basketball begins its shot or begins its dribble or begins its pass. When we're little and we're working with those kinds of things, we pick the basketball up and we immediately put it into our natural position. And that generally is what begins to evolve into our shooting pocket. From there, if our eyes are on our target and we're square to our target, then our shooting hand has to do the old adage. Our hand has to go in the cookie jar. So where our hand goes is where the basketball is going to go. If we can start to introduce and make those kind of habits things that kids can build on and things that they can start to feel comfortable with as their bodies develop and as they get stronger, I think we're going to see guys feeling a lot more comfortable and confident in their shots.
And one last one for you. Something I'm actually working into my personal routine is dunking. So, you know, how do I increase my vertical by 12 inches in the next month?
Well, if you're like me, Jason, I think, you know, you're spending hours on hours in the alley shooting dunk shots. I mean, if your dunk's not amazing all the time, then what's the point of playing? So I'd say, a minimum 200 dunks a day. Otherwise, you know, just pack it up and go inside.
You're wasting your time, huh? I love it. We'll have to try to get Greg to work on his calves because neither of us are exactly killing it at this point.
No, honest question, though, Steve. Like, do you think you can improve jumping as an adult? Like,
yeah,
how much
I just
do you think you can improve?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, I just don't think it's going to feel awfully pretty. Like, I do understand and do subscribe to the old idea of, you know, training can be suffering and you're going to have to go through some frustration before it gets better. I don't know, man. Like, the idea of doing, like, endless squat jumps and single leg stuff, it's just kind of like, I don't know. If I'm not dunking real great by now, it's probably not going to happen. So let's just make sure that the basketball is going in the bucket some way, shape, or form. But if the hoop goes to 8 feet, then I'm all over it. I'm all over it. And I'll be talking trash to who's ever around it. But outside of that, I don't think so.
Well, but you must have dunked, you know, in college quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, in high school was my peak. There was this thing that, thinking back on it, just makes my knees and back hurt. It was called Air Alert. And Air Alert was this, like, psychotic jumping basketball system that you did a weekly, daily workout of jumping. And I kid you not, because everyone at Shep, when we were going there, was doing Air Alert. It was kind of like a badge of honor that you were doing this. And it was squat jumps, single leg jumps, calf raises, calf burnouts, and it was like by the hundreds every week. So week one, it was like 100 squat jumps, and then 100 calf raises, and 100 calf jumps. And then by week 10, it's like 1,000 squat jumps. Like, everybody made it to week six, and then everyone's back is killing them, and no one can move. And,
yeah.
But then you took a week off because you were borderline crippled, and then you had a great jumping week, and you go, oh man, this works. And then you go, I just can't do this anymore. So there was like one or a couple days where we were dunking, and we're like, this is awesome, we're dunking. Our games were probably not so good because we weren't spending any other time except jumping in the yard. But Yeah, I had found the Air Alert program a couple months ago and looked at it and just got queasy because it was like, oh man, I can't even imagine trying to do that now. Everything just hurts looking at it.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for this stuff. And quickly, in about 30 seconds, with the Olympics postponed, all the qualifying, you guys still going to gear up and take another run on it next year?
Absolutely. I think, it was a big disappointment that we weren't able to go compete for it. It was the right decision that it was postponed so that everyone could remain safe and be with families and people at home. But, our group, we know that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. All of us through different roads has led us to this point, and we know how hard we've worked, and we're going to stick with it. And we're determined to come out of this some way, shape, or form, still playing for Canada, still getting to the Olympics, and accomplishing this goal.
Awesome stuff, Steve. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me, guys. Stay safe.